Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, and on this episode of Word Made Flesh, I have with me our Wellness Director, Tim Ruppel, as well as our, I guess we'd call you an interim men's minister, or residence manager. Is that correct, John?
That is correct.
Hey, so a couple of our staff are here along with myself, and we welcome you to this episode of Word Made Flesh. And I was sharing with Tim and John before we went on the air that I recently was reading on my cell phone. A lot of us tend to get a lot of our information. That there's an app that's popular among cell phone users, both Apple and Android, and it's a Bible app, and some of our listening audience members may be familiar with it. It's called YouVersion, and they disclosed every year kind of some statistics on the use of their app. And up until 2020, the most popular scripture that was searched on the internet through their app was John 3:16, which we're all quite familiar with. An unusual change for the year 2020 that I found very intriguing, and I'd like for us to kind of speak on its topic, but they disclosed that the most popular scripture searched in 2020 was from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. And for our listening audience, it reads, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." And now that I've read that, I'm sure even our listening audience is going, well, that kind of makes sense in light of the year 2020 that we all had. And so, John and Tim, really kind of what I wanted to speak about is this whole idea of fear. I think there was a lot of anxiety, and still some residual anxieties as we enter into this new year, and ongoing anxieties. But let's talk a little bit about fear as a topic. I mean, did you see that rising up into your everyday life, your personal life, your spiritual life, your work life, family life, in your life in general, as you reflect back on 2020? And if so, is it possible maybe we could identify maybe some causes? So any thoughts on that?
I think especially for this year, you know, we all know it's been an interesting year, so it's, you know, we've all had our, I think, ups and downs. No matter what side of the, I guess, the aisles you fall on with that, you know, believers and non-believers and what's this understanding of this pandemic, you know. But I know what we can say and what is true is we've lost a lot of people. And the thing is that's across the board from older people to younger people, you know, especially children. And then you got athletes or people who've had medical conditions. So, like, I think this time has created this sense of fear in us in some ways, you know. Like, maybe not as much about fear of death, or maybe it's fear of what I'm leaving behind or what's getting left behind. Have I completed my legacy in my life? And because some of us may not, a lot of people weren't thinking that they were going to die this year. You know, that wasn't on their mind. They're healthy, they're runners, they're athletes. But they were taken from us, you know. They were removed from our world. And I think that puts in some the perspective of us thinking about, you know, where am I at in my life? Mm. You know, like, I think that's for me, the fear isn't really been much about the fear of me dying, as much as really looking, especially the last month or so, I really started looking at this idea, my identity in life.
Mm.
And what legacy do I want to leave behind? So I think that my fear comes from this general idea of, what am I leaving this earth? Well, how am I leaving this earth? Am I leaving it with better than I came into it? You know, I didn't. I mean, like I said, we know none of us chose to be. We were chosen to be here. None of us chose to be on this earth. But we're given gifts. We're given gifts in our lives, and now are we upholding those gifts? Are we utilizing those gifts in the way our Father intended us to use it? And like, that's where I'm at. Like, how do I want to live my life? How do I want to live my legacy? And that is, you know, clean environment, health, meaning I have to clean myself up. I got to take care of myself first. Because if I don't put myself on this righteous path, you know, both, you know, emotionally healthy, physically healthy, and spiritually healthy, then how can I be a beacon for my family?
Particularly if we would say, you know, the gift of life God graced you with,
yeah.
It's your responsibility on what you do with that, right? I mean, years and years alone.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right, good. You got anything you want to throw in there, John?
Yeah, I kind of on a different train of thought. Just kind of going off what's going on in my personal life right now. You know, I have fears about being able to take care of my daughter the way a father should be able to take care of a daughter, and being able to provide for her, and you know, starting a new job. You know, there's always a little bit of fear that comes with that, and getting settled in with that, and you know, but fear can be a great motivator for me. On the other hand, it can be a oppressor.
Can you expound on the fear as a motivator?
Motivator? Sure. I mean, the fear, like I was just mentioning, the fear of not being able to take care of my daughter. Well, that's pushing me to do the things that I need to do to make sure that I am able to take care of my daughter.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, it gives me the motivation to, hey, you know, when the time comes, I got to be able to step up and be there for her. And if I sit around and do nothing, I'm not going to be ready at that point. You know,
yeah.
I got to take steps to ensure that if that situation ever arises, which, you know, due to my shortcomings in life, I haven't always been there for her. But now I'm at a point in my life where I am ready to accept that full responsibility and, you know, be the father that God wants me to be the person that I want, you know, God wants me to be, just all around. You know, and I'm afraid of not being that person anymore. You know, I've gone years with not being that person and being oppressed and oppressing myself because of my life choices. And, you know, I don't want to live like that anymore. And I have fear about going back to that lifestyle. So it's definitely motivating me and, you know, giving me the ambition to, you know, start changing some things and preparing for the future.
Good. I think were you going to say something?
Yeah, like, I was just thinking about, what is it, like, 1 John 4:18 a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Perfect love drives out all fear.
Right.
But I think that's easy to say, but hard to think about, especially with the population of people we work with, you know, working with the homeless, the hungry, and the addictive. I mean, what is love? Like, their understanding of love, or even us, I mean, I think our understanding of love is all different, or we like what's really perfect love? Like, we don't understand what perfect love is. So how can we fear God because we don't understand His love for us, because we never ever experienced that in our life? We feel like, because a lot of times the people in our lives have created this fear in us. They have abused us emotionally, physically, and we feel like we've kind of been, you know, like a lot of our population feel like we've been kind of dumped on a lot of times. You know, nobody cares about us. Nobody wants us removed from their world in some ways. So what is really perfect love? If I don't understand perfect what love is in general, how do I know what perfect love is? So how can I really, I'm always going to continue to fear God if I don't understand what love really is. And like, that's a hard thing to answer to some of the population ask about. That's
we may want to at least emphasize when we use language from Scripture, that particularly in the New Testament, that prefaces perfection, perfect. Yeah. You know, our English American translation is that which is flawless, like so some flawless love. Where biblically, it's really about being complete. You know, a complete love drives out fear. We see a complete love oftentimes which is a God love reflected through good parents taking care of their children, right? Mm-hmm. They love them. It's an action oriented that's done completely, right? They feed them, they clothe them, they nurture them, they educate them, right? It's a holistic completeness, is that type of expression. I'm glad you bring that up because I think it's somewhat what God's reminding the Israelites at the time. Like, look at, let me assure you, I am with you. And for those of us that are Christian, we just had Christmas here a month ago, and right, we all talk about Emmanuel. And oftentimes these eternal concepts can just be very entertaining and romanticized. It's one thing to say that God's eternal and God's with me, but kind of what you're saying, what does that mean? You know, how do I experience that? This sense of overwhelming anxieties and even fear-based determinations and experiences over the past year, is the spiritual truth that I've kind of like the Israelites, I'm not with God? Because as Christians, you know, we're called to live a God with God life. We're to be with God at all times. And yes, Jesus says, love God, love neighbor. And God, that's what Jesus is talking about. You know, how do you will the good of the other? In a sense, if you do that completely, there's this eradication of the fear. Mm-hmm. And this is where before we went on the air, we were talking a little bit about the German theologian Paul Tillich. And you know, Tillich coming out of World War I saw a lot of atrocity. I mean, he's a chaplain, he was around death, as a chaplain, officiating funerals for thousands of soldiers at a time, and he's just trying to make sense, where's God, right? And he's just talking about, this fear that can lead to violence and hate and things like that is really a reflection of our own wrestling, a spiritual wrestling with our own sense of finiteness. You know, we're finite. Mm-hmm. We're not infinite, right? As human beings. Yeah. And we're born in time. We know our day's coming. Nobody can avoid it. We're all right. Time's gonna run out. Mm-hmm. We're born in a certain space. That contributes. We just know. So you think about histories of addictions, right? I mean, if you're in the space of addiction, that can, that can cut some time off. You think about our causality. You know, I didn't ask to come here. I was caused to be here. Everything that we look around, everything has been caused. from our technology. You know, we got the big tech. We our foods. Everything's caused, and I'm to some degree dependent upon that causality. And then you have, all of that. I think together, I think what Tillich was really trying to speak about was how there's a spiritual underpinning to all of that. If I become obsessed with my finiteness, I am no longer looking at the infinite God. If I'm worried about my time, I am disconnected with the eternal one. If I'm worried about my space, right, God is omnipresent, we said. All right, God's everywhere. Right? There is no causality to God. God is the pre-existent, right, pure act of being, not caused. Mm-hmm. And I think, it does not surprise me to be aware that people were in 2020 cognitive of their experiences of fear. It's globally, obviously, 6 million people. That's global. But yeah, globally, then are we really that connected with the one that says I'm with you always, always, not sometimes? And so, if God's with us always, then who's the one missing the part?
Mm-hmm.
And is all of our busyness and our fear-based and anxieties and things like that actually interfering with my relationship with the one who says I'm with you always?
And I think that's the key right there. It's a relationship. You
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
God's always there. You know, the scripture, and I'm paraphrasing, if you knock, you know, the door will be open, and I will come in, and I will strengthen you. And I can, speaking from personal experience, you know, I experience that every day. Without God in my life right now, I would be lost. I would feel broken. I'd feel defeated. And, you know, that's where my strength comes from today.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but you got to, you can't just ask for it and expect to get it. You got to do your best to live the way he wants you to live.
Like any relationship, right?
It's
two parties.
Right.
It's a dance. But well, to our listening audience, I hope this has been helpful and hopeful for you, and I thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our women's and children's ministry center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a neighbor of hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.